Last week, talking about that family was God's idea. You know, the world likes to take claim and that the world has come up with all this stuff. But we saw in Genesis that that families was God's idea. And it is our responsibility to lead. Now, maybe it's not a family in your home. Maybe it's other people. So we talk about the wider part of that is that we all influence people that are close to us. Last week, we talked with the first component, and it's spiritual leadership. And we learned as a Christian, it's our number one responsibility in life to lead and guide those within our influence spiritually. It's a big job, but it's an important job. We never know how our influence can affect others. I remember talking to a young man one day. At one point in his life, he was in the military. He'd seen the worst aspects of war. It had been in Afghanistan several times and just all around war. And he therefore struggled with some anger on a daily basis. It was a big deal. He would classify himself as an angry man. But he had a commanding officer that was at peace no matter what. I don't know how many of them are like that, but this one was. So one day, even in the most stressful times of war, this young man watched his commanding officer just be at peace. Then one day, the young man asked him, "Well, how can you do this?" And his commanding officer said, "It's God." That's all it was. That's all he said. His commanding officer probably had no idea how this one statement impacted this young soldier. It started him on a spiritual journey. And now that young man is faithfully serving Jesus. His past struggle with anger has greatly diminished, all because of some spiritual leadership by his commanding officer. You know, we all have a responsibility to lead spiritually those that God brings into our path. Whether they're in our home or at our work or maybe we have a hobby with them. Whatever it is, wherever we are, we have that responsibility. Today is part two, and equally as important, it's nurturing leadership. And I know if you say that one way, you won't get it, but it's the leadership of nurturing. It's not nurturing leadership in somebody. It's the leadership of nurturing. The word nurture means to feed, to protect, to support, to encourage, to train, to educate. And then when it comes to family, generationally, nurturing is considered more the trait of a woman. And while most women do seem to have a little more natural tendencies to nurture, it doesn't negate the responsibility for men to also nurture. One of the things we applaud and celebrate today is the nurturing component of you as mothers, grandmothers, sisters, aunts, and friends. Your impact on us has been amazing. I was born in 1957, and I can remember family responsibilities were clearly defined as to what women did and what men did, or more specifically, what women didn't do and what men didn't do. Case in point, my mother never did yard work. My dad never did housework. Now, things have changed a lot over the years, but there's still a sense of nurturing stuff being the woman's responsibility. But I want to debunk that today, that concept totally, and remind you how we were all created in Genesis 1:27. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God created men and women. And while there are distinct differences, and never let anyone tell you any different than that, within God are both the male and female giftings. And he made us in his image. That means that we have those traits from God. Throughout Scripture, we see God's nurturing leadership being shed on his people, and that hasn't changed. But as Christians, we are to reflect him, who he is, to the world. Philippians 2:14 and 15. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean and innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in the world full of crooked and perverse people. Now, many of you know that I was a single dad when Susan married me, and she took on my sons, age three and five, as her own. And as in most elementary schools, every year there was this event called Field Day, and you'd go out and you'd do all kind of stuff. my wife being the PE teacher, put this event together. It was an excellent event. Our sons went to that school, and as a good dad, I took the day off to volunteer. We spent all morning out there doing all kind of stuff. I call it manly stuff, but girls were doing it too, playing sports. After the event, I was leaving the field, headed to my car. My oldest son, the oldest son, and he'll be 44 this year, yelled out to me as I was leaving, "Dad, don't forget to wash my ball uniform." I'm telling you, everybody heard that. Everybody in the field, the dads, the moms, everybody, the teachers, the administrators, the kids, everybody. I felt that I had lost my man card that day in the public way. Don't forget to wash my ball uniform. Now listen, being a single dad, I was used to doing almost everything my children needed. So it really wasn't anything new for me, but I wasn't ready for the world to know. You see, in my heart of hearts, way before I was a single dad, way before I was a dad, I was bound and determined to be one that would nurture my children, no matter what. In fact, if I ever felt a calling in life, it was to be a dad. But it was certainly a learning curve for me. Throughout Scripture, we see Jesus not only concerned about people's eternity, but concerned about their quality of life, their state of being, their current circumstances. And in all those situations, guess what? Jesus was moved with compassion and he bolted into action. Today, it's my hope that you'll be challenged, especially those that don't feel they have a natural gifting to nurture, to consider that God wants you to be actively involved in nurturing as you lead those you have influence with and have been brought into your life for whatever reason. In the home, yes. In the workplace, yes. In your hobbies, in your recreation place, and in those sudden opportunities that just present themselves. Why? Because people are lost. People are struggling. People are in need. People are aimless. People are unhappy. People are unloved. People are depressed. And since we're to carry on the work of Jesus, we are to bolt into action. We're to be the hands and feet of Jesus. The best place to nurture is a family, or with those that we have a lot of influence with. The home should be a place of security, love, and safety. Everything about you should exude that. It's not just the home setting, but especially the home setting. It's there that we find people that we can help others to understand their worth and their value, and value to us and God personally. I then want you to look even bigger. While we may sharpen our skills in the home or with those that are we're more comfortable with, we should expect to be prepared to do that in the world. Remember, God can use us and will use us with anyone at any time. So what does nurturing leadership look like? What does the leadership of nurturing look like? I want to give you three components that I think will help you. To lead someone with nurture means that you must have confidence. Number one, confidence. Confidence means full trust. Belief in the powers of trustworthiness or reliability of a person or a thing. That is what confidence is. And not one of us can intentionally lead without confidence. You will back down. You will step back. You will just disengage if you don't have this confidence. Now, I'm not talking about worldly confidence. I'm talking about the confidence that comes from God. We can't do anything for God without knowing that our confidence comes from Him. And we are to place our total confidence on Him. And not only on Him, in Him. That you just know it, that God has done this and given you that confidence. Psalms 33, 20 through 21. We wait expectantly for the Lord, for He is our help and our shield. For in Him our heart rejoices because we trust, lean on, rely on, and are confident in His holy name. Let your steadfast loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us in proportion as we have placed our confidence, our hope in you. The truth is that we will experience failure in life at times. But knowing where our confidence lies keeps us from letting that failure define us. Far too many of God's creations have let failure define them. Since God loves us completely, warts and all, unlovable as we are at times, we know that his love for us never ends and will never fail. Not only do we have confidence in God, he has confidence in us. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every morning. Other versions say the steadfast love of God never ends. We can be confident in that. When we lead others with God's confidence, those around us are nurtured. To lead someone with nurture means, number two, that you have to have compassion. Compassion is deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. How many of us get moved when we see someone suffering? But it doesn't move into compassion unless you want to be a part of solving the problem. This requires us being able to see people, really see people and what they're going through, using the same lens of the unconditional love that God uses to see us. Again, our families and those that we have influence with are the best place to hone that skill. But it's not meant to be limited just to those. Listen to what Paul, how he instructs the church of in Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Listen, compassion is a choice. I worked on Main Street for a good number of years. Tyree did too. And actually, we were at the same place at one time, and I don't think we ever met. It's amazing that we didn't meet, isn't it? But I worked on Main Street, and if you know anything about Main Street, it's actually more now the case than it even was then. There were a lot of homeless around, and they were wandering in every corner. They'd want something. And I had pretty well got my blinders on when I'm going somewhere, so I'm just going wherever I'm going. But I remember the moment that compassion hit me. I saw this guy that was homeless and he was needing something. And for the very first time, I had a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. I think I sent him to Drake's Duck Inn, if you ever had those chicken sandwiches, with a $5 bill. Now back there, a $5 bill could buy you a hot dog, a Drake's sandwich, and a drink. But it was the first time in my life that I felt compelled to alleviate the suffering. That is what Paul's talking about. When we lead others with God's compassion, those around us are nurtured. They are. To lead someone with nurture means, number three, that you must have vision. Vision is a vivid imaginative concept or anticipation of some possibilities out there in the future. Jeremiah 29:11 reminds us, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Other versions say plans for peace and well-being and not for disaster. See, we nurture people by helping them to see beyond their present and to look to the future that God has for them. Now, we're never, ever going to be able to do that unless we have grasped hold of what God has a great future for us. We nurture people by telling them to look beyond where they are right now. Don't concentrate on the here and now. Look at what God may have for you. We nurture people by not letting the present reality form and fashion them, but rather let God be the one who forms and fashions them. Our children, those that we have influence over, is the exact opposite of nurture when we continue to remind them of their failings. We need to be ones that remind them of God's forgiveness. Remind them of where God wants to take them. Remind them that where they are today or in the midst of that bad decision is not where they have to live and is not where they get their identity from. We nurture people by believing in them like God believes in us. Now, none of us have any problem embracing all the good stuff God says about ourselves. But we don't steward that well sometimes. We don't pour that into others around us. We nurture people by helping them reach their God-given potential. I read a book a number of years ago entitled Seeds of Greatness by Dennis Waitley. And that book is all about the fact that what God has in store for His creations and how we can receive those plantings. He talks about their seeds, those plantings, to become all that God has for us to become. He's got a plan. And this guy talks about it. And also how to be used in helping others receive those same seeds of greatness. There's 10 of them. The seed of self-worth. The seed of creativity. The seed of responsibility. The seed of wisdom. The seed of purpose. I must not have made a slide for this. I can send these to you if you want them. The seed of wisdom. The seed of purpose. The seed of communication. The seed of faith. The seed of adaptability. The seed of preservation, the seed of perspective. There are so many things that God wants us to plant in other people because He has planted those in us. And He wants them not only to take root in us, He wants those seeds to be transferred and planted in others. We got this big old massive flower. It's not a flower bed. It is a... I don't know how to describe it. It is a large bed of weeds. And I'm telling you, it is big. And it's got a few things in there we like. So I started this Saturday, going through that big place. And it's massive. I have ignored it for 20 years. And it is right up front in our yard. It's what splits us and one of our neighbors. And he might like it because he can't see us, but we're not going to get yard of the month, and there's only 3 houses on our street. We're not going to ever get it. But I started going in there, pulling out the things that were not good, and tagging the things that were good, so that when I get in there with Roundup, I will have bagged over the good stuff so that nothing good will be destroyed. But I want the rest of the stuff gone. And then we can put in some landscape chips and make it, and maybe we'll get yard of the month of the 3 houses. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm striving for. But until you go in and identify, and I said, Susan, you come and tell me which are the plants that you want. Because they all look like junk to me. And I'll cut stuff that I'm not supposed to cut. But she told me what to look for. And I had a lot of string trimmer string. And I cut little pieces of it. And I tie a knot of that string around the good branch of that one. So that I know that I'm not going to do anything at all to harm that one. When you have these planted, these seeds that God wants to plant in us, guard them with your heart. Guard them. Don't let someone else mess around with that planting. Don't let someone start cutting on that planting. Because those are the plants that are going to grow. And we look toward the future. We have great faith that one day that's going to look like something other than weeds, and the azaleas will prosper, and there's something else in there. Camellia bush, that's going to prosper, but I think everything else has got to go. How many times are we around someone that's influencing us, and they plant seeds of greatness in us, and we just let the weeds overtake it? And we just let it get choked out. There's no life at all in it. We have a responsibility, whether you have a typical family or whatever. If you are a child of the King, you have a responsibility to plant seeds in other people. The seeds of greatness. And listen, if we can systematically help plant these godly seeds in those that we lead, then they've got a good chance to see those seeds grow into full harvest in their lives. See, it's during the planting that they begin to see that God has a great plan for their life. And they how they are to reproduce for the kingdom of God. When we lead others with God's vision, those around us will be nurtured. Now, because there's so many different makeups of families, I feel prompted, we talked about this part in our staff meeting, prompted to just let you know something of reality. Everybody knows that Moses was a great guy. But he had some problems all around him. And those that were sent to nurture him weren't always blood relatives. We see in Exodus, the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, "When you help the Hebrew women in childbirth and observe them on the delivery stool, if it's a boy, kill him. But if it's a girl, let her live." The midwives, however, feared God, and they did not do what the king of Egypt said, so they let the boys live. Now, there's in chapter 2 of Exodus 1, there's a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was fine, a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. Now already, the midwives had spoken nurture into Moses because he lived. Think about that. They weren't related to him. They had no emotional tie. They knew he was God's creation. They shared the same heritage, the Jewish heritage. But they had no tie to them. But because of them, Moses was born. And then we know the rest of the story. They had to hide Moses. The mother had to nurture Moses for a very short time. And then the sister got involved and prolonged his life. And you know that he was placed in a basket and the sister was watching, and then the Pharaoh's daughter came in. Can you see how many people actually nurtured Moses' life for him to become a great leader for God? No one could have figured that out. No one could have seen it. But what if the midwives didn't do that? We wouldn't have Moses. What if the sister and the mom said, "We just can't handle this. We don't know what to do." Or what if the Pharaoh's daughter said, "I'm not going to take that baby. He's not mine." But all of them had a part to play in the early stages of Moses becoming alive and living in a place where he was doomed. You know, each one of you have the power to change the trajectory of a life of those that you influence because of the power of God in you. So here's the challenge this Mother's Day 2024. No matter how many people look to you for influence, nurture them by leading them with God's confidence, with God's compassion, and with God's vision. See, we have a responsibility as a child of the King to cultivate health and cultivate security and cultivate godliness in those that we have influence over. In our homes, in our workplaces, in our recreation places, wherever we go, we have a responsibility to lead for God. We must become a leader of nurture for the kingdom's good. We must nurture those that are around us. It doesn't matter if you got a man card still intact or not. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter what gender you are. God has placed in us as His creations, as He breathed life into us, the nature to nurture. And God has brought us along over a lot of different places. He has nurtured us. In fact, if it weren't for God, we would not even exist. If it weren't for those that nurtured Moses' life, he would never have even been known. So how many little Moseses do we have in our lives that are just defenseless, that they don't know how to do this? And God's brought you around because you've got seeds of greatness inside of you. And you know that He's asked you, He has commanded you to go and bear fruit. How do you bear fruit? Well, you sow seeds. That's where it starts. You can't sow seeds if you're stuck on yourself. You'll keep all the seeds to yourself. But God's given you seeds of greatness. And it is going to benefit your life, and it is going to help you, but that's not all it is. You're to be a conduit of those seeds that gets planted in you. And then you share with the ones that are next to you. You share with this one over here. And you don't have to worry about the results. You are not responsible for the results. That commanding officer, all he said is, the only reason I have peace in the midst of this crazy life in war is because of God. He had no idea what that was going to do. And it transformed a young life. Wonder how many young people that have come around us that we've not intentionally sowed the seeds of greatness in. If that's the case, just ask the Lord to forgive you. Surely we've blown it at times. But today, Mother's Day 2024, let's pick up the nurturing baton and start looking at how we live in the multiplication of God's kingdom and not the soul, I want a blessing from God. No, we are to be multipliers. We are to be those that will sow what God has sown in us in other people. And then we're going to be the best cheerleaders. We're going to celebrate them wherever they go. We're not going to remind them all the stuff they've done wrong. Listen, that's a tendency. Yeah, last time I trusted you with this, you didn't do it. What about if I changed that and pulled from a different bag of seeds? I know you can do this. I know that God's got His hand on you. I know that God will carry you. I know that if you turn to God, He's going to do something great in your life. What if we changed our perspective in how we plant and sit back and watch heaven be populated? Isn't that great? That is so good. Heavenly Father.